one time too many.
For you, maybe. I always relish these moments.
Your time is up, Conlon.
No, Taggart. I'm afraid it's your time that's up.
All right, you ready? Let's do this. Welcome to Week 4 Take the Points College Football Podcast. Tom Zeleznak, we're coming in hot. I'll introduce Ryan in a moment, but I got to throw it right to Mr. Dan Partridge for some hot Willie Taggart action.
There's no more appropriate clip than Johnny Drama saying, "Your time is up, Taggart," following that performance against Syracuse. When you can't score an offensive point, Florida State's 4- and 5- star talent until the fourth quarter against a defense that gave up like 150 points to a Michigan school not named Michigan State or Michigan this year already. He might be the worst coach in all of Division I. You know, we're going to have to check with Ryan's coaches rankings later to verify this for sure, but Willie Taggart's time should be up, and I know who should be the next head coach, but I don't know if we should talk about this yet.
I think we have to talk about it. Okay. Let's just say we're all on the train.
Well, there's a guy who took over a program who was, you know, I think a 2-9 program or a 3-9 program the year before.
Yeah. Three wins, I believe.
Yeah, 3 wins. Took them over in the state of Florida, made a bowl game, won their conference, and they're doing the same thing again this year. They were up 29-0 at the end of the first quarter. Lane Kiffin will bring the swag back to Florida State. We'll have people excited and jumping around on the sidelines. Florida State has a fucking turnover backpack right now. That's an embarrassment to all turnover chains and thrones and, you know.
What would Lane's be? It would be like the turnover margarita?
Hot tub. Turnover hot tub with like 4 cheerleaders in it.
Dan, I'm giving you a slow clap. That's the best one of those I've heard. And there have been many.
That was...
You run and you just jump right in the hot tub in full uniform.
They would be... all right, that is so Florida, first of all. Like, oh... Interception, the guy just jumps right in the hot tub instantly.
Oh, yeah. It has to be lined with, like, Christmas lights and, like, a bottle of Andre Cold Duck.
There's so many options. So get Lane to Tallahassee. It would improve college football so much if the state of Florida had Lane at Florida State. If he can do that at FAU, can you imagine what he can do at Florida State? People need to get those, you know, USC and Tennessee years out of his head. The Tennessee years weren't nearly as bad as everybody thought now that you look at the nonsense after that.
No, they were all right. They were great. They were okay.
They were a lot better than they are now. And USC, it's hard to compare them to, you know, that Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush era as well. So anyway, Lane's the truth. Get fucking Coach Taggart out of town. I'm sorry to get angry. I'm sorry for the curse words early and take the points, but I can't have Syracuse whipping Florida State. That doesn't work for my life. I know too many Syracuse fans. It was a tough Saturday for me. And I can't have that at noon, by the way. And I can't also have money on the over and it be 3-0 out of the first quarter, but that's a whole other thing. So basically, I'm pretty salty. Willie Taggart should be fired. Bring Lane Kiffin in.
Dan, the first episode of this year, we talked about our last season when we predicted Tua should be the starter for Alabama in week 8, first week of November, around that time. He had hardly played a snap, no meaningful action. Jalen Hurts was the QB, and we came out and called that one. Mm-hmm. And then we had this fake quarterback controversy. Anybody want to make that a controversy now? No, Alabama looks like the greatest team of all time. So this is going to be the thing I bring up every time we tell you something. And I'm going to give this one the take the points to a stamp of approval. Willie Taggart is not going to turn this around. It's not going to get better. It's been 3 games. And I know people are saying, well, like, give him a chance. No, do it now.
Over. I've never seen anything like this before, to be honest with you.
And just a brief summary of Willie Taggart's experience and resume coming into the Florida State job. 7-5 in his 1 year at Oregon. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And losing career, under 500 career record.
Just way overrated. I mean, this is inexcusable. I mean,
if he wasn't an alum, they never would have even considered him for the job.
Who knows? I mean, sometimes in sports this happens with a coach. They have a really good agent. They have the right connections. And they just make their way up. But it just doesn't make sense. You can't be this horrible. Anyway,
Ryan Spillett, the third member of our podcast, jump on in. You were the one guy who actually predicted Syracuse to win. You can brag, or if you want to just talk about something else from week three, the floor is yours, Ryan. You've earned it.
Well, thanks, Tom. Good to be back. Welcome, world. You guys said everything that needed to be said about Willie. I've obviously made my feelings known in my coaching rankings. We'll get to those at another time. But really, really disappointed with Florida State's just energy, attitude. They just don't look like they care at all. And, that's just not acceptable for Florida State. So, you know, like Dan said, bring the Lane train in.
Ride it.
If the hot tub gets mixed by the AD, we could always have the turnover tomahawk, which is my idea. You know, they already have the big tomahawk anyways. Like, so they should get the, you know, blinged out, maybe even light it on fire, swing it around a couple of times. So some options there. My personal preference is the turnover tomahawk.
Hmm. What about the horse?
You just ride the horse for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the Florida State Seminole mascot comes out with the horse and the spear at the beginning of every game. How about if you get a turnover, you get to jump on the horse and do a lap?
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I still think the hot tub might be the best idea, but these are three solid ones.
Hot tub, for sure.
They all beat the backpack.
The backpack's the worst.
That's a punishment.
It is a punishment. Tom.
It's the worst jinx since the Tennessee trash can. I mean, you need to understand.
That one was a little on the nose.
That was the worst thing ever, the Tennessee trash can. And now we have the Florida State backpack. Let's see who fucks it up next year for the third year in a row.
The backpack's funny, too, at a school that's, like, notorious for players not attending class.
Like, yeah, I know.
They probably don't even know what this thing is.
They're like, you're bad, Tom. All right. Are we ready for lines? Are we ready for a commercial?
Yeah. Jump. Oh, do we have an advertiser this week, Dan? Yeah, let's do a commercial and then we'll get right into the lines.
All right. We have two commercials today.
All right, let's do one and we'll save the other one for the end. We have a lot of advertisers and we got to spread it around. Otherwise, we'll be too wealthy and it'll go to our heads.
All right. Here we go. First commercial. All right. Here we go. This is from our friends at... Hey kids, you a fan of Limp Bizkit? Check out Limp Bizkit's record-setting smash hit Significant Other, the group's follow-up to the worldwide smash $3 Bill, y'all, featuring the hit songs Nookie, Break Stuff, and Together Now featuring Method Man. Yeah, this album came out in June of 99, but it has zero playback appeal. Catch them on the Family Values Tour this fall with Korn, POD, Stained, and many, many other acts to ruin rock and roll during the peak of my youth. Limp Bizkit, Significant Other, available at your local Record Town or Yellow store, or send four blank cassettes to 5 Warners Road, Warners, New York, 13031. Limp Bizkit out.
Dan, now I gotta go and bleep his address from this podcast.
Thank you. So yeah, Limp Bizkit wanted us to advertise for that album. I don't know.
Oh, that's nice of them.
They're trying to get some extra sales up. I don't know.
No, Wes Borland, didn't he quit Limp Bizkit because he said they sucked? Like, that was his actual reason. He's like, I was embarrassed to be in Limp Bizkit. I think he came back, though.
I have no update nor information on this, Tom. All I know is we got a check in the mail from Wes Borland himself.
So. We'll look this up on the break. No, the first part is accurate. I know this. He quit Limp Bizkit, and his reason was, I'm paraphrasing, that he was embarrassed to be in the band after seeing the music they were making. I'm pretty sure he came back, which we'll look up later, but that's hilarious because imagine if you quit this podcast and you were like, this podcast sucks. It's an embarrassment and a slight to my career to be on it. I'm out. And 3 years from now, you're like, hey, fellas, it's me, Dan. I got a hot take on Willie Taggart at, Florida International, where he coaches now.
That is pretty unbelievable. I mean, it would be equally as awful as if he, like, came back and then quit halfway through his tour with them or something like that. I don't know.
Not till the end. No NFL talk till the end, Dan.
Okay.
But we're going to get into it. We hate the NFL on this show, but this is the one week I'll make an exception. We've got two or three things that must be discussed.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Limp Bizkit. Hopefully you get some more sales. I'm ready to do some lines, Tom. Are you?
Dan, yes. I'd just like to point out that you hate Stained more than anyone.
Yes.
And when I moved to Hartford, Connecticut, where I live now, I didn't realize Stained is from right up the road in Longmeadow, Mass.
Right.
And somebody said something about Stained, and I was like, God, they suck. And people are like, you watch your tongue around here.
Aaron Lewis has a lot of watchful eyes on
his got ears everywhere.
He's got everywhere. He's got his fucking finger in everything.
We'll leave that there. All right, Dan, we got some Friday night games. Let's do the lines. You're going to lead us.
Thank you. College football is back, baby. If it wasn't back already, it's back this week with three Friday games, all worth watching and putting money on. Right off the bat, Lane Kiffin, FAU, at Central Florida, the powerhouse that is Central Florida. Central Florida leading 14, total of 71. UCF obviously is more talented. They're going to have more fans, yada, yada. But the over of 71, as long as it's not a horrible, very windy night, I'm just going to play the over and hope it's a Friday night fun over, high scoring game in the 40s, 30s, something like that, maybe a team in the 50s. But I'm not going to lay the 14 with UCF, and it's hard to go against them at home at the same time. So have some fun, fire the over, Friday night.
Yes, we don't need to elaborate on that. That is correct.
All right, are we moving on?
Yeah, we're moving on. There's nothing more to be said. It's UCF. It's FAU. Take that over.
Yeah. Well said, Tom. All right, second game. Penn State Nittany Lions, who got back on track with a 435-2 win over Kent State last week. This week, they travel on the road as a 4-touchdown favorite at Illinois. Total of 58. Lovie Smith seems like a piece of cake, but I'm going to hold on. See, I think me and Tom are going to agree. I like
Illinois. No, you go ahead and take it.
I like Illinois in this game. They are actually much improved this year. They lost a close game last week, but they're 2-1. This is a much not – I mean, they're slightly improved. They don't have the best coach, but this is a trap game for Penn State. They got Ohio State next week on deck. 28's a lot of points for a short week on the road. And there's also that – stupid-ass historical angle. I'll never forget the undefeated Penn State team at Illinois, favored by probably 24 to 28 points, down 21-0 early. So, and I would not be, wow, I can't believe it happened if somehow Illinois found a way to pull a shocker of all shocker and beat Penn State, because this is the number one trap game of the week. So anyway, I like Illinois. I'll probably bet Illinois plus 28. But there's a chance Penn State hammers them. I don't know.
So the line just moved up to 28.5, which is actually a big move. So you get that extra half point. And I want to commend you for part of this happened before we were officially recording the podcast, but that is the second reference to the 1994 football season we've made, and we're not even 20 minutes into the show. So we're way ahead of schedule, Dan. The show's just going to – pretty soon I'm going to change the name from Take the Points Podcast to, hey, remember 94 Penn State?
Hey, remember 1994, period. Just the shows, the music. We're going to be talking about the X-Files and the albums, and that'll be it. Be like 1994 Podcast. That's not a bad idea, actually.
So you covered what I was going to say. The whiteout next week is the big game of the season for Penn State and Ohio State. Biggest game of the Big Ten of the year,
yes.
Whiteout game. So Penn State's going in on a Friday night. This is their first, I would say it's their biggest road test of the season. They're just going to want to get out of there with a W. And I think they win. I actually think they pull away late. And they win it by, 21, 22 points. But I don't think they get to 29. And that's going to rise even throughout the week, probably. So it's going to be like 30 by kickoff.
Yeah, I like Illinois in that spot.
Yep.
All right, last one. Late game. Washington State Cougars at the University of Southern California. Complete train wreck Trojans. USC's laying 4. The total's 53. A total of 53 between these two teams pretty much tells you all you need to know about the talent level and the execution on the field between these two squads. USC's horrible. Absolutely 100% trash. They looked so bad against Texas over the weekend. Ryan had a really good point that he'll probably talk about. I'll leave it for him, but USC is complete trash. They should not be favored by 4 over just about anybody right now. And there's a chance that both USC and UCLA both finish under 500 this year, which would be historically awful. I'm taking Washington State in the 4. I don't know about the total, but I'll take the points. I might actually do an all underdog parlay on Friday night and take FAU, Illinois, and Washington State in a 3-way points. But I'm going to throw that out there.
Okay, I'm going to pass to Ryan.
All right, thanks, Tom. Yeah, I totally agree with Dan. USC sucks. And for you people, that sounds terrible.
You people.
All of the listeners out there on the East Coast who really only get to see some of these West Coast teams for like a quarter or a half, you're going to go, oh, wow, I watched the beginning of that USC game. They were fine. They came out. They moved the ball. They scored some points. And here's the problem, and I've noticed this trend a lot recently, and Dan and I talked about this. These fraud coaches always get off to good starts in games because they spend the whole week scripting out their first 15 to 20 plays. You hear about it all the time. Oh, yeah, we had this, we follow the script, a few minor tweaks. But the problem is once you get through your, third or fourth possession, these guys don't have a script anymore, and they're not good in-game adjusters, and they can't make any adjustments at all on the fly or change a game plan on the fly. So these teams look good early, so it's a great spot to live bet them, maybe even get a little bit of action on the, taking USC on the first half, but taking Washington State for the game. You can kind of double up your money there. So something to keep an eye on, these fraud coaches script out these early 2-3 possessions, and then after that, they're garbage.
That's a good point.
All right, let's roll into Saturday.
Okay, right off the bat, and Ryan, you get to lead this one off. The University of Connecticut Lightning Huskies are at the Syracuse Orange. The Syracuse Orange are laying 27.5 points in a football game, with a total of 75. Ryan, I'm going to let you start this one off, please.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Well, since I was the only one who correctly picked Syracuse last week, I'm honored to get the first priority here. And the reason I picked Syracuse, and for anyone who's paid attention since last season even, since I am kind of the recruiting guy on this podcast, you'll remember that I said how shocked I was that Syracuse signed a quarterback who was on the ESPN Elite 11 TV show. And I was like, there's no way this guy can sit on the bench. He's from New Jersey, and he's got this pedigree. And I was right, and everyone kept telling me, well, no, Dungy, lightning in a bottle, 400 yards of all total offense. But it's not Dungy's team. This guy, DeVito, is the guy. I think he ends up becoming the starter full-time before the end of the season. And if he does, they might make a bowl game. This kid is a pretty nice player. He's pretty fearless throwing the ball. I still think that's way too many points for this game, so it's a stay away for me. But I'm interested to see how they split the snaps and eventually when he becomes the starter.
Okay. We all have got thoughts on this one, so I'll go next. Last week, we've been doing our locks of the week, 3-0 last week. All three of us got it right with Alabama, Georgia, and then my random pick of Minnesota, which came through nicely. So we all got it correct. So what's the total standing on that, Dan? I think I'm 2-1.
I'm 2-1 as well. Ryan's 1-2. We're 5-4 as a group, ready to really, really take it off here.
All right, so it's anybody's game still.
Oh, yeah.
The point is that while I was picking Minnesota, I declared that this week I was picking Syracuse versus UConn, having not seen the games of week three and having no clue what the line was going to be. And as a man of my word, I'm going to stick with that. I will say that this line is way higher than I would have thought it was going to be. And I don't think this is the best pick of the week. I'll tell you what my lock would have been in a little bit, but I'm a man of my word, and Syracuse is going to beat them. It's only a matter of by how much, and I'm just going to go with it and say that they get some kind of backdoor cover and win by 32 points. I've backed myself into a corner with this one. So if I were doing this one from scratch, something tells me that UConn's going to pull some shenanigans and cover this, but we'll see. Dan, you may have thoughts.
I do, unfortunately. I should be having thoughts on real games, but I'm going to make the case for the University of Connecticut. It's a trap. Of course. I have a degree. It's a trap game for Syracuse between Florida State and Clemson. It's a lot of points for a team, UConn, who scored 63 last week against Rhode Island. If you didn't see the Syracuse-Florida State game, you might think that the Rhode Island defense is comparable to that Syracuse defense we saw in week one. I know that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's not far. And also, like Ryan said, I am a little scared of the quarterback situation. I think that they might play two quarterbacks this week and try to maybe make sure that Eric Dungy is healthy for the Clemson game next week. So I think Syracuse wins this game by 17 points and UConn covers.
Okay. It makes sense with the trap thing and the letdown thing. That kind of sandwich game does make sense. I will say that Rhode Island is not a real team, so I do not accept the results of that game for UConn. I judge them on their first two performances against good teams where they got absolutely smoked by Boise and UCF.
I hope that I'm wrong and you win for take the points, because I'm not going to put any real money on this. This is just we have to talk about it because of our whatever roots. Anyway, moving on, we're going to kick it to Tom for a random one here right off the bat, a.k.a. we're getting this game out of the way. Ohio at Cincinnati, Cincinnati -8. No thoughts over here, Tom. Right to you.
Okay, so I guess we won't make people wait. So this would be my lock of the week under any other circumstances. Cincy's pretty good, and they've been beating teams by a pretty wide margin. And meanwhile, Ohio they've played two games. They beat Howard in a pretty close game, and they lost to Virginia by 14. Virginia's not good. Cincinnati's better than Virginia. So non-lock of the week, Cincinnati at home, -8 against the Ohio Bobcats. And is Frank Solich still coaching that team?
Yes, he's in his 50th season this year, Tom.
All right. Lock it up.
For real, 50th season as a coach.
Unbelievable. That's a lot.
Oh, that's true?
Yeah. No, that's 100% accurate. This is his 50th season as a college coach.
That sounds like a joke we just do about Tanner Mangum. I didn't know that was a real stat. All right, yeah, lock it up. I'll be wagering on this one for sure.
Okay, moving on, next game, Northern Illinois at Florida State. Somehow, Florida State is laying 10 points to Northern Illinois with a total of 42, which might even be lower than a Miami Dolphins at New York Jets type game. This is
so they'd have to win 24-12?
Something like that, yeah. Here's the problem, is I don't think this game's going over 42. Northern Illinois has played three games this year. They've put up a combined, 37 points in three games against Iowa, Utah, and Central Michigan. And they got 24 of them against Central Michigan. 29
points.
29 points. No, they won.
Oh, God.
So anyway.
Yeah, but those are all hard teams. Now they play FSU.
Yeah, but they well said, Tom. They're not going to score any points on the road to Florida State. Florida State can't score any points of their own. Under 42 is the play in this game, but don't pay any attention.
All right. I'm not going to dirty myself up by talking about this one.
You should. It's pretty nasty. Sorry.
No.
Moving on. Okay, fine. Let's talk about Notre Dame and get real excited. Yay. Notre Dame at Wake Forest. The Fighting Irish laying 8 points with a total of 58. Notre Dame is in we don't care how we win mode, beating Vandy by 5. Vandy played very well. Hats off to them. They beat Ball State by a couple points. Now they're laying 8 points on the road in North Carolina after a hurricane, before they play Stanford next week on national TV. And if both Stanford and Notre Dame happen to win this week, then you're looking at like a big time top 10 matchup, like a number 4 for 6 type scenario next week. So for those reasons, I still hate Notre Dame, and I'm going to take Wake Forest plus 8 points.
Yeah, this is a really, really tough one because of those reasons. I think this is like a super look ahead, like you were saying, Dan. But also they know that if they take care of business early in this game, they could probably relax a little bit and get ready for the next game. So I could see them being up 23-24 early in like the mid third quarter and then just giving up like 2 backdoor touchdowns. So this is like a super stay away for me, but if I had to pick a side, I'd probably lean Notre Dame.
All right. It's a good week to make some money. Last week's lines were very difficult. There are a bunch of games I like this week, and we already covered a couple of them, and this is another one. Wake Forest, in any circumstance, is better than an 8-point underdog to Notre Dame. Wake Forest is good. I always tell you about Wake and Duke, my two sneaky underrated ACC teams. Well, Wake Forest played tough with a BC team that's very good this year last week, and that was a Thursday game. They got moved and messed around because of the hurricane, and Wake still performed pretty well despite a loss. I like Wake Forest to cover this game and chance of an outright win. I'm going to give them a 15% chance of an outright win. Don't be shocked. This could be this week's BYU Wisconsin.
Very possible. Very possible. Moving on. The other half of next week's alleged primetime matchup. Stanford travels to Oregon, laying 1.5 with a total of 56. This is a very strange, strange game. Is it rigged for Stanford and Notre Dame to be undefeated next week? Maybe. Was Oregon very unimpressive last week over San Jose State? Yes. However, everybody instantly is going to look at this game and go, Stanford, no-brainer, Stanford, no-brainer, Stanford, no-brainer. If you go back and look at the past 3 years, the first road game Stanford's played, they played horribly and lost. At San Diego State, at Washington, and at another team, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's odd, and this is the first road game of the year for Stanford. Oregon had no motivation last week. There was a total look-ahead spot, clearly. They kicked a ton of field goals, were sloppy in the red zone, still had a ton of yards. This is a coin flip game, really hard. However, I do like the over of 56. I think that's too low. I think both teams get in the 20s with ease, and you just need one to kind of get in the 30s for the over. So stay away from both from each side on this, but I really like the over 56. That's one of my favorite totals of the week.
All right.
Okay, moving on. Huge game. Florida at Tennessee. Florida laying 4.5 points on the road.
Dan, we got a special guest on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, do we?
Danny, it's me, the ball coach.
Oh, hey, ball coach, how we doing?
I'm here to talk about Florida, Tennessee. Danny, it's an embarrassment. Back in my day, this was the premier rivalry in all of college sports. People talk about Ohio State versus Michigan. That was nothing compared to me versus Peyton Manning, winner of the Citrus Bowl, many Citrus Bowls. Meanwhile, me and Danny Werfel were winning championships. You can't spell citrus without UT. Anyway, what a joke this has become, Danny. This is not in the top 15 games of the week. Makes me want to quit broadcasting. That's all I got to say, Danny. I'm out of here. Bye.
Thanks, ball coach. That was accurate, everything you just said. I remember watching Florida, Tennessee as a child in the 90s, loving it. So here's the deal with this game. I bet the under last year. I won on betting the under last year. What happened? Okay, a couple things. The under came in last year despite a Hail Mary and like another late score and a bunch of other bullshit. It was like 3-0 at halftime. These teams have not improved one bit. They're both complete trash. And the total is the same as last year too, 48. I don't see no reason not to run it back. Under 48 all day.
Absolutely. Totally agree with Dan on that. That's just it seems like a way too easy pick.
Might be the lock.
Sounds pretty good.
Ryan likes it. Okay.
Ryan likes it. All right.
Find your moonshine. We're going to Morgantown. Morgantown, West Virginia Mountaineers laying 16.5 against Kansas State. Total of 61. Kansas State's complete trash. Not good whatsoever. They had their home game against Mississippi State where they could show everyone they could hold up. No, didn't happen. They're not good at all. West Virginia was supposed to play last week, coming off the hurricane. Expect them to start a little bit slow and sluggish, but Will Greer's on the Heisman march. Him and Mr. Stills will put on a show. West Virginia's still undervalued. I think this line should be more like 24.5, to be honest with you. Love West Virginia. Hammer them again. Like a 44-16 or something like that. West Virginia, lay it.
Yeah, I've got similar thoughts, but Ryan's been on West Virginia all year, so he deserves this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with Dan on this. You know, if this game was in Kansas, at Kansas State, it would be a completely different conversation because of Bill Snyder. But this is just a really tough spot to go and play. And I think West Virginia kind of smells blood in the water right now, and they know that they can go on a little bit of a run here. So they have a great chance here to take care of business at home. I think they win by probably 24-30.
Yep, another game I absolutely love this week. This line's only going to climb, so if you like West Virginia like I do, take it early. I'd also add that West Virginia is severely underranked in the newest AP polls. I'm not sure exactly where they came in. I think they're like 14th, but they're a borderline top 10 team to me right now. When you look at Auburn losing and some of the other things, they're better than Notre Dame. I mean, I would have them around 10th. At least as good as Penn State, if not a spot or two ahead of them.
You're right.
West Virginia, value pick.
Underrated.
Lay it.
Now, speaking of overrated, oh boy, Arkansas.
Ooh.
At Auburn.
I want to start by apologizing to America. I cannot believe that 2 weeks ago I made Arkansas a lock of the week. I should quit podcasting halfway through this episode, Vontae Davis style, but... I'm gonna continue and make it up to you, America.
Oh, so many Vontae references.
God, they're horrid. Horrid.
Auburn's laying 29.5. I have no interest in this game. I don't want to bet this game. I just really want to talk about how bad Arkansas is. And
yes.
Hats off to North Texas for not only just beating Arkansas, but to hammer them by 4 touchdowns on the road. It's unbelievable. I can't imagine being a student at that school or a person on that program or anyone. And just unbelievable job. Shame on you, Arkansas. I know it's going to take time, but that is pathetic. That's all I got for that one. No pick. Just a rant.
No, it's too many points. I wouldn't bet Auburn, but Arkansas, you can't bet Arkansas the rest of this year.
No.
They're anti-Alabama rules. Like, even if you like them, you stay away.
Valid point. Now we're moving to a much more fun and exciting game. The Texas Tech offensive machine is rolling up north. That's right, Tom. You're doing the pistols in the air firing.
That was my pistols in the air / take the over.
Well, they're traveling up to Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State coming off a big win off Boise, a couple special team scores. Coach Gundy, just an unbelievable head coach, as usual. But Texas Tech's got this freshman quarterback, Alan Bowman, threw for 605 last week in 5 touchdowns. He's got 8 touchdowns on the year, no picks. Texas Tech's just throwing it all over the lot. This is too many points. Oklahoma State minus 13 with a total of 79. I don't like it. I like Texas Tech and the over, dual hook, but more than anything, I like Texas Tech and 13.
Wow, that's a big pick, Dan. I like that.
Thank you.
I don't know that I am ready to pull that trigger just yet. I think I have a little bit too much recency bias with the way Oklahoma State looked last week to do that with them at home. It's such a really brutal place to play. But I love that over 79 a lot. So for me, that's the play.
So I know that I did the pistols and the over thing, but my honest take, Oklahoma State's defense looked really good against Boise. More impressive. Yeah. More impressive than we've maybe ever seen from that team, or more than I'm certainly used to from any Big 12 squad. So 79 point over scares me a little bit. I certainly wouldn't take the under with two teams like this, but I think I'm going to stay away from this one. I think I'm with Dan. I would take Texas Tech more than the over.
Okay. See, take the points, you know, and also with Texas Tech, of course, you got a lot of backdoor possibilities.
Up
24 and Texas Tech has the ball with 4 minutes to go, they can definitely fire 2 touchdowns in there and lose by 10. Like, it's really hard to lay 14 against Texas Tech because you really got to – I mean, it's tough. It really is. They're probably the hardest team. Anyway, we're going to stay in the great state of Texas. By the way, it was really fun to do a state of Texas parlay last weekend with TCU plus 12.5 and Texas minus 3 on the late night games. TCU minus a field goal. At Texas, the total of 50.5. This is a game, again, where the public's going to completely fuck up. They're going to say, look at Texas. They just hammered USC. That's Southern California. They're at home. How are they getting 3? Yada, yada. TCU is a much better team than Texas. This line should be higher than it is. However, I can't bet TCU just because they played Ohio State and lost. And that might have, like, worn them out physically, maybe emotionally, you know, and in any other week of the season, I think TCU is the right side to bet on the road against Texas because they're a better coach team right now. They're a better, you know, they're just a better team. So it's kind of hard. But again, I kind of like that total, 50.5. I think both teams get in the 20s, get one team in the 30s. You got yourself an over. I'll take the over 50.5 and just have some fun with that one.
Yeah, that's the pick for me as well. This is a rivalry game, sort of. It's in the rivalry spectrum, so I'm not laying points or taking points with either of them, especially with a line that's around 3. Over.
I agree. All right, now we're going over to go see Coach O. Hold that tiger. Hold it.
Touch the rope.
Louisiana Tech makes the short trip from the technological campus to Louisiana State University. LSU's laying 20.5. That'll be 21. That's definitely going up. The total of 50.5. Well, we've all undervalued LSU now. They have 2 nice wins. They're undefeated. People consider them a top 3 to 5 team in the country. They're really talented. I mean, come on. How can you not love them to wax Louisiana Tech? Oh, wait. Hold your horses, America. I love Louisiana Tech in this game. This is a big letdown spot following the at Auburn, very physical game against Auburn. 21 points is a lot. Louisiana Tech, they're undefeated. They won 54-17 last week. They got a quarterback who played last year in a bowl game, who's back this year. Last week, 24-37 for 380 and two touchdowns. I think this is a spot where Louisiana Tech can keep it somewhat close. I'm not saying they shock the world, but I think they keep it closer than people think. I think this is going to be the game where people are going to be like, oh, checking in, Baton Rouge, shocking, 13-10 into the first half, like one of those. So I'm going to take the 21, and we talk about it every year on Take the Points. These guys know each other. They played high school ball together. A lot of friends on these teams, interesting storylines, high school rivalries, things like that. So take the 21. That's my advice.
The totally. Fact that we've – oh, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I totally agree with Dan on that. Love La Tech in this spot. Not only is it the letdown trap game, but it's also a look-ahead game. LSU has Ole Miss next week, which is a ESPN primetime TV game. So that's definitely a spot where, you know, LSU comes in. They look at La Tech as the little brother. You know, some of these guys from Louisiana Tech, some of these top guys for them, the quarterback is really, really good. They have some receivers that can make plays. They probably were not offered scholarships or offered like preferred walk-on spots by LSU, and they had a chip on their shoulder. They're going to ball out. So I love La Tech in this spot.
I was going to say that I think the fact that we've all known each other 30 years and have been doing this show forever, in a way ruins this, because when I listen to any other sports show and they're always arguing about everything, and then you guys say something that should be a controversial statement, I'm like, oh yeah, makes total sense. I'm on board. 17-point win for LSU. We've seen this a million times. It's like, don't any of you want to argue with each other? And it's like, no, we already, even though we do, as we've said many times, almost no prep and certainly no communication about these lines and topics.
Yep.
We already know what we're all going to say, because we all have seen this a million times ever since that 94 season.
That's correct.
Except, Tom, I am going to disagree with you about the 17-point LSU win. Taking a money line. Fuck you, Coach O. I'm taking a money line.
Oh,
wow. See, I was going to say, like, next week against Ole Miss, or maybe when they play, I don't know who's next, but LSU has definitely primed the pump for them to be like 5-0, 6-0, ranked sixth in the country, and then to lose a game to like Florida or like Mississippi State and let everybody down. And people will remember, oh, Joe Burrows. Yeah, he's only really a good quarterback relative to the people we've had here the last 10 years. So I hope I'm wrong. I like football better when LSU is great. I really like to see them challenge Alabama. I don't want to see Alabama just, you know, run away with the SEC as usual. So it'd be great to have them back. I hope they win by a lot, but I'm with you. La Tech.
Louisiana Tech plus 775 on the money line. If you want a taste.
That's a controversial opinion, Ryan.
That's fine, though.
That's what I'm here to bring.
You can put that parlay with just one other bet. You can get yourself a nice parlay. Anyway, of course, you know what I would do is parlay that and then lose the other bet like an asshole. You know, that would be so standard. All right, moving on to non-asshole picks. The Georgia Bulldogs, who are quietly murdering people this year.
Georgia, the Georgia easy money Bulldogs, you mean?
Oh, my God. Everyone's on Alabama, and they're just quietly thrashing people like it's spring ball. They're laying 14.5 at a shitbag Missouri team. Don't worry about that win over Purdue. No one cares. Georgia's going to thrash them. It might be close early. It might be losing at halftime. It won't matter. They're going to kill them. In the end, lay it with Georgia. Do not stop betting Georgia. This is only 14.5. That's not bad. Lay it.
Yeah, this should be at least 3 touchdowns minimum. I thought this line was way too low. I thought the lowest it could go was 20.5 to open, and I thought it would get bet up to about 22, 23.5 even. So for me, this is a no-brainer, Georgia.
I really screwed myself over by declaring my lock of the week last week and then sticking with it with Syracuse, because Georgia's going to win this game by 31 points. Georgia is a perma lock. going forward until we say otherwise. just hammer them every single week. This is a great bet. The line should be 21 minimum.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Do you want to bet money on Missouri and be the one sitting there like, all right, I think they can do it? No, of course not. You're going to feel good. You put money on Georgia, Fromm, Swift, Elijah Holyfield. They lose Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, and it's like they lost nothing.
They're unbelievable. They're back. Also, speaking of, are we going to move on? Another unbelievable
squad. Yeah, we can move on.
The unbelievable squad, the cheat code, the video game. Texas A&M travels to Alabama. Alabama's laying 27 points. Texas A&M lost to Clemson, the number two team, by 2 points. Now they're laying 27 against Alabama. Vegas has really had enough of this shit. It can't continue anymore. They keep moving the spread higher, and it don't matter. It goes higher 2 days before, it don't matter. It goes higher the morning of the game, it don't matter. Someone's going to show up at Saban's house eventually from Vegas. And I'm joking, of course, but this, I believe, and please don't kill me, guys, you probably will. I think this is the week A&M covers against A&M or against Bama. This is strictly just because Las Vegas hates losing money on Alabama. I think they're going to get 2 backdoor touchdowns and lose by 25 points. They're going to be down 42-3, down 39, and then get 2 backdoor scores to lose 42-17 cover. So I'm going to take A&M. I'm not going to bet it whatsoever, but we just have to talk about it.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Dan. I think that number is really, really high.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the play on this one is going to be the over. Like you said, Alabama could have scored 100 last week. They could probably score 100 on most everybody that they play. So for me, I think the over makes total sense. I could see them putting up 50. You know, maybe they do give up 24, 27 late with the back doors. But for me, the overplay I love.
This line is absolutely insane. Dan, you nailed it. Texas A&M went toe-to-toe with the second-best team in the country and could have won that game if not for a couple breaks here and there, a bad call, that ball fumbled out of the end zone, whatever. Like, that was an even game. Now they play Alabama, and it's a 4-touchdown line. Yep. Like, you're 100% correct. It's just Vegas saying, like, no. I don't care if we lose all our money. We're daring you to bet anyone except Alabama. And you know what? I'm not going to do it.
No, it's fucking insane. Like, it's so inflated at this point, and no one even cares. They're like, what's the Alabama spread? You can tell anybody anything. Be like, it's 46. They're like, that's good. That's good. Lay it. No one has any reason at all to bet against them at this point. I mean,
it's funny because we've been saying this since the first season of this podcast, I think, which was like, what, 2011, 2012. Sure. We would say the number one rule of college football gambling is you bet on Alabama or you don't bet. Like, if you think Alabama's going to lose or the other team's going to cover, you just stay away. And it's still the number one rule today. Nothing's changed. I think this line's absolutely insane, and so I'm going to stay away, but there's no way I'm going to bet against Alabama and Tua.
Zero money on A&M. Zero. Like, however much money you're going to bet on A&M, just put it in your pocket and go to Whole Foods and get a nice steak. And cook it on your grill or something like that.
Save it for upcoming weeks because UConn's got quite the schedule coming up. If you think the at Syracuse is bad, you just wait. Oh. There's more.
Speaking of shitbag teams, Tom, we're going to move right on. Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, laying, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Laying 3.5 points at Iowa with a total of 43.5.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty boring. I'd like to thank Wisconsin for costing me the over last week by missing that field goal. It was a good gambling moment. Either I was going to win my over of 47.5 in that game, or Wisconsin was going to get knocked out of the national title picture. In the moment, I was mad he missed it, but now, well money spent. I never liked Wisconsin to begin with. I'm glad they're knocked out. This is a big rebound spot for them. I have no idea. You know what? I'm going to take the under just because it's so low. I'm going to keep it even lower. Under 43.5.
Ryan, take this one. I'll go last.
Well, I actually don't really have any thoughts on this. As you guys know, I've been a huge, huge Wisconsin backer the last two seasons, and they let me down. They made me eat my words, and I'm too disgusted with them to have any opinion on this game this week.
All right. Well, I'll pick up the slack because I have many thoughts. What are the lines again, Dan?
Three and a half, and 43.5.
Okay. Let's start with this. Every year when you take away the, you know, six or so elite programs in the country, your Alabama, your Ohio State, et cetera, there's always going to be teams that are at that second tier that overperform or get a lucky break or have a soft schedule one year and sort of do a little bit better than they should have. And then the next year, they don't get the bounces. They do have a harder schedule and they fall back to earth. It happened to Michigan State a few years ago when they made the playoff and then got waxed and then came back down to earth. It happened to Michigan a couple years ago after the first Wilton Spate year. And this year it's going to be Wisconsin, I think, from the Big Ten falling back down to earth. That's not to say they're bad, but they played a very, very soft schedule last year. And they still did, you know, they did really well. They got some breaks. They had this freshman runner come out of nowhere that people weren't really prepared for most of the season. This year, everybody's ready for them. They got a harder schedule. But this specific game is 100% on Paul Christ. There's no reason they should have lost this. They were looking ahead to Iowa or looking ahead to the Big Ten, and they came out flat, and that's it. And I would also add that I talked to a lot of people about college football, but I know quite a few Wisconsin fans, and they've been saying for the last couple of years that Alex Hornibrook isn't good. And I would always be his defender. Like, yeah, you know, maybe he's not a top pro prospect, but he led them to a damn good season last year. He must be doing something right. And I'm starting to see in the first few games this year that this will surprise you guys, but the fans who follow the team all year and watch every single game may know a little bit more than me. Yeah, he's just, you know, he's not, his decisions making is a little questionable at times, and his arm strength is not great. And last year he had just a little more talent around him, just a little bit more. And some of the bounces and some of the decisions, he got away with a few things at times, and it's caught up with him this year. And, you know, he's no Russell Wilson, that's for sure. So I think Wisconsin's going to fall back down a little. I think they're in danger again this week. I would not bet on them. I think Iowa's got one of the best defenses in the entire country. So the over number is a little low for me, but I would, if I had to pick, I would lean under. And, you know, get ready for like a 20-17 type game. Now it could be 24-20 and it could go over, but I don't think we're going to get a shootout here. So
no shootout.
Probably the line is right on. I think Wisconsin's probably a slightly better, you know, 2-3 point better team if both teams play to their potential, but everything about this game, the lines and all that is right on. So, stay away unless you think somebody's going to fall flat or Wisconsin's going to come out looking for revenge or something. Like, this one's, everything's right on about this.
Agree.
All so right. That was a long way of saying do nothing.
Yeah. I just want to bring that game up to make fun of Wisconsin more than anything else. So we're going to close the night and week, whatever this is, with Arizona State and Herm Edwards and the Herm Watch at Washington. Washington laying 17.5 points with a total of 48.5. Arizona State fell off the rails against San Diego State, Tom.
Yeah, I think we might need to start this one off with a Herm Watch from Ryan, because the CEO, his stock price has dropped significantly last week, Dan.
Understatement, Tom. Ryan, take it away.
Ryan, where are we with Herm Watch?
So yeah, Tom, I got home from work today, fired up the Monday press conference from earlier this afternoon, watched almost the entire thing. I got through about 80% of it. Herm didn't really have a lot of bad stuff to say. Pretty positive, smiling a lot the whole, you know, throughout the press conference, had some really nice things to say about Washington. You know, the biggest takeaway I got from that was, you know, he kind of rightly pointed out this is his first road game as Arizona State coach, and he knew road games would be tough, and he said, this is our first loss, so I don't know how this team's going to react to a loss and how we're going to come up, because this is the first time we've lost a game. You know, so I thought that was pretty cool. He did go on some really hilarious tangents about, like, they're asking about, like, the Washington crowd, and he was like, oh, that's a tough crowd. Played there my freshman year. And then he
That's relevant.
And then he name dropped the quarterback, the starting quarterback from Washington, from his freshman year in college, and just kind of like started laughing to himself, and then moved back into the conversation. But Herm is great for those. He loves dropping those little nuggets in, you know, whether it's guys he knows or just like stuff from like his coaching playing career. It's pretty hilarious. So keep watching those Herm press conferences. They're online. You can watch them anytime. They're really great.
Herm Watch was supposed to be this like recurring joke, but it's turned into this very positive segment about a man overcoming the odds.
Something like that, Tom.
So what's going to happen in this game? I'm going to take myself out of this one.
Arizona State's going to get shut out almost. They had no offense last week. Washington's going to methodically eat them alive, I think. Lay it late night.
Totally agree. Chris Peterson's just an excellent, excellent coach, and I think they handle their business here.
All right. Let's take a break, and we will come back with a little bit of rare NFL talk just for a few minutes before the end of the show. All right, be right back. All right, before we return to our regularly scheduled program, Dan, we have another ad from another sponsor, right? We're really tearing it up. I bought a Tesla with all the money that's been coming in.
I'm still saving it for the right moment, but it's because of these guys, Tom. Third week in a row, Camel Cigarettes, they're back once again, folks. Problems with your self-esteem? Light a Camel. Really want to stick it to mom and dad? Fire up a Camel. Need to lose a few pounds? Enjoy a Camel. Camel Cigarettes. There's worse things out there. So thanks to our friends at Camel. They've signed a multi-week contract, and it's going well. Tom's got a Tesla. I can't legally comment on what I'm spending the Camel cash on right now. You know,
Are they paying us in dollars or in Camel cash?
You're getting all the real U.S. currency. I get all the Camel cash, and I get to just order stuff from the Camel catalog. They haven't made a Camel catalog since 97, so it's a little outdated, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I take the U.S. dollars and I buy a Tesla. You take the Camel cash and you buy a leather jacket with a Meat Puppets sticker on it.
And a giant Joe Camel on the back of the jacket with a suitcase set. Just says Camel. It's light blue. A koozie for a beer. You know, they go well with cigarettes. So, and you know, just a lot of Camel cash in general. I'll forward you the link to the catalog. And by link, I mean, it's not a regular website. It's one of those off web sites that you know, you have to go.
Oh, it's on the dark web.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Camelcash.onion.
You joke, Tom, but we might get murdered because you just said that. That might be a real site. That might be how to buy an AK-47 in Istanbul.
Like, do not go to that site, folks.
Don't go to that. That's not a real site. If it is a real site, we are joking 100%. We have no connection to any of that. Anyway, thank you, Camel Cigarettes, for your continued sponsorship of Take the Points.
All right. We don't like to normally talk NFL, but when something happens generally off the field that's just too impressive – We have to talk about it. So we have a special segment today. Dan is a Steelers fan, for those who don't know. Ryan and I are Bills fans. And the segment today is called Whose Team is More of a Clusterfuck?
Oh, I got some
Dan, Dan, why don't you start off by making your case for the Steelers as the most dysfunctional team in America, and then Ryan can make his case for the Buffalo Bills.
Tom, I'm not prepared for this, but I really appreciate you giving me this question.
Oh, we don't prepare. Okay. I'm making this up, but you know what to say.
I'm ready. This team is the worst Pittsburgh Steelers team of all time, and they are a total disgrace to the name of the Steelers, the fan base, the city, everything. I joked this offseason about how I wasn't excited for the Steelers season, how I didn't like the players. People thought I was kidding. I'm not kidding. We're 2 weeks into this, and I don't care. This is – you cannot – if you're above the age of, like, 16, you shouldn't root for this team if you have any sort of morals. Like, horribly coached, horrible people, money, contracts, like, you know, a player almost gets – killed on the field, and you know, it just there's so much awful things around the Steelers right now. Antonio Brown today's like, go ahead, trade me. You got a linebacker on his Instagram, you know, messaging haters. Le'Veon Bell sitting out. Roethlisberger's still a scumbag. You know, it's just this team is as unrootable as I've ever seen, and I don't know. It just makes me sad. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I want Mason Rudolph and James Conner and James Washington to take over. And until that happens, I really don't care. I'm in my mid-30s. I have a career. There's other things I like to do in my spare time. I don't have time to root for this team, and I'm not going to waste my time. It's not a stand about politics. I don't care about kneeling or any of that stuff. It's just because I hate the players on the Steelers and the organization. And I'm dead serious. I can't stand them. See, people still don't think I'm serious. I'm not.
No, I know you're serious. That's why we said the Kaepernick thing has overshadowed the fact that we should all be boycotting NFL anyway because it sucks.
It's a horrible product in general, and my team is not watchable, and they have no chance of winning the Super Bowl. So what's the point? So I'm looking into part-time jobs. Tom, is there any web work I can do for you on Sunday or something? Or,
well, if you go to camelcash.com. No.
Oh, no. Okay. Maybe I will start rooting for the Steelers. So go ahead, Ryan. You want to make a case for the Bills being the absolute clusterfuck of clusterfucks? Or what are we doing here?
Okay. I got some things to say about this Bills.
Get out of here.
So Dan's got guys that are holding out. He's got guys that are threatening to be traded. We have guys that literally put on their street clothes and walk out of the stadium mid-game. Mid-game.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like Bud Kilmer, except not forced out. They do it voluntarily.
Correct. Now here's the thing. If this was the only time this happened and it was a one-off thing, I would get that. I could let it pass. However, this is now becoming a trend. This also happened last year where they signed a veteran and all of a sudden he changes his mind and said, I would rather not play than play for this. Mm-hmm. And Von Bolden did the same shit last year. So now we got ourselves a theme. And not to mention,
like, it's not on the same level, but Kyle Orton finished a season, packed up his shit, and just did an Irish goodbye and just peaced out.
Yeah. Kyle Orton holds the record for fastest retirement post-game in sports history.
What was quicker, Kyle Orton retiring after that game or Christian Hackenberg deciding to go pro after that Penn State Georgia bowl game? Each one occurred within like 12 minutes.
I think Hackenberg actually showered first. Orton walked, like, literally, I think he left the game in his shoulder pads. Like, he just put a dip in, threw on a visor, and got out of Dodge. I don't think he even officially retired. I think he just texted, like, peace out, bitches, on the way out to the parking lot. That was that.
And where does Paul Posluszny rank in this? Leaving the Bills to go to the then awful Jaguars for the same amount of money just because he wanted out.
Well,
that worked out in the long run.
Yeah, I don't mind. The Bills weren't going to offer him a long-term contract, so there was no need to worry about Puz. But, yeah, so the Bills are no good. They traded away or gave away their whole offensive line. They keep just throwing in random guys. And then this is what pisses me off more than anything, is the way, and I've sent this to you guys in a group chat, and I don't know that everyone fully believed me till I gave proof of their tanking, that they literally are tanking. If you look at their inactive list every week, they just sneakily bench and make inactive 1 to 2 starters and or contributors every game for no reason. No, not on the injury report. Week 1, Vontae Davis, healthy scratch. Week 2, Shaq Lawson, starting D-end, and Teron Johnson, starting nickel corner. Both of them, inactive, healthy scratch.
Yeah, there was a good deal down at the Anchor Bar on wings, so those guys had to take themselves out. Well, like, I'll catch you next week.
They
can't blame them.
Yeah, exactly. Who could blame them right now? Like, this is ridiculous. So keep an eye on the Bills inactive list every week. It's kind of hilarious. They just randomly bench guys that are not on injury reports and continue to make money. Since this is a gambling podcast, go ahead and just bet against the Bills every week. This week they are at Minnesota.
16.5.
Nope. It's a full 17 now, Dan.
Oh my God.
That's minus 17 for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is minus 17 in an NFL football game.
Yeah, I mean, those were the kind of lines that were reserved only for Bills Patriots in years past.
Well, Tom, the problem with that is after Minnesota, they also have Green Bay week 4. And then they have New England like week 6.
That's so, the Monday night game, right?
Yeah, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to lose a lot of games by 30, 40 points.
Is Bills 0-16 possible?
It's 100% possible.
Oh, for sure. I think they'll win one. God. I think they'll win one.
What happens if they go 0-16? What can we? Is it over?
We get a good pick. No, here, no, let me jump in for a second, Ryan, because this is my argument for the Bills. Dan's Steelers are going to finish this season like 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. They're going to be around 500, and Dan is like, this is the worst season in Steelers history ever since the, like, AFL championship game of 42.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Bills are going to go 1-15, and me and Ryan are like, well, Josh Allen showed some potential upside in that second half there, so, you know, it's not all lost.
You guys.
Charles Murphy, or that their running back who I've never heard of, even though I watch every college football game.
Marcus Murphy from Missouri?
Maybe, oh, is that who
it is? Maybe because Missouri throws the ball 75 times a game. The only time you would have seen him is when he was returning kicks, which he did a lot of, because teams were just lighting them up.
Like Georgia will this week.
Correct. So yeah.
This guy had more touches last week for the Bills than he did in his college career.
But yes, that is, he's going to have more touches in his rookie NFL season, backing up, allegedly, LeSean McCoy, than he probably had in like 3 years as a Missouri starter.
Oh, and speaking of which, yeah, Dan, our one good player, LeSean McCoy, has gone to the Urban Meyer School of Domestic Abuse Defense, where he's just like, what? Nothing happened. What are you talking about? Everything's cool. So anyway, we were preparing, looking at the playbook, working hard.
I didn't see shit.
Yeah, that's the Urban Meyer I didn't see shit defense.
Okay, enough of that. Real quick, one more NFL topic that needs to be discussed because it is related to this topic. How freaking cool is Ryan Fitzmagic?
You know, the thing about him, You can be, it doesn't matter how smart you are, how well educated, you can be a Harvard grad. Florida's going to get you.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was apparently it was DeSean Jackson's outfit. So that was, he was, because apparently Jackson, I watched the clip, so it's not apparently, I actually watched it. DeSean Jackson showed up to Fitzpatrick's press conference, like, in just mesh shorts only. No shirt, no shoes, and he's like, yeah, that's my outfit. I told Ryan to wear it. So apparently, yeah, that was, they love him. Apparently everyone's getting along with him. I say they should call Tampa and ask them what they want for Fitzmagic. Trade him back to Buffalo. He probably still has some property there. I love it. I'm back in. He's my neighbor. He grew up right down the street from my apartment. Dan and I can go to the high school where he played.
No, I'm not going.
But I will be going to the high school where he played. If I need to sacrifice something at midfield, I will do it. I've done it before.
You love Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic, bring him back. Only if he wears velour tracksuits every press conference for the rest of his career.
That could be arranged.
That's my NFL rant. Nope. I still love the Bills. We're going to win a game, Max. Screw it. Who cares? Let's go.
Worst case scenario for the Bills is that they trade their next year's one for Jameis. Oh, that'd be the worst. No one's even laughing.
Dan,
I said that.
No.
Dan, we have a lot of fun on this podcast, but you may have crossed a line there.
You watch when Jameis shows up in Buffalo this offseason.
No. Nope. They'll draft Justin Herbert, and they'll just have a quarterback competition with no O-line.
That's not going to be a problem, actually, because I don't think Buffalo has Uber.
Okay. Anything?
I just want to end with a one-minute follow-up to last week's X-Files rant at the end of the show.
Please.
So I switched. I'm a cord cutter, and I switched from Sling TV to YouTube TV for this college football season. YouTube TV... I don't have a thorough review yet, but for college football, it's great. You can switch back and forth. Great stream. No buffering yet. I really like it. One other advantage of YouTube TV is they have the BBC America channel, which I did not previously have. And this channel just shows X-Files reruns all the time. I'm sure you're familiar.
We got it.
So a couple days ago, actually on Saturday, I think, or Sunday, you know, when the Bills were down by 100, I switched over to and was watching X-Files and,
much better.
Yeah. And so, my 2-year-old daughter came in the room and she has, this will say all you need to know about me, but I bought her a like stuffed Mulder and Scully doll.
Yes.
And so she's watching X-Files and she's like looking, and I put this next to her and she holds it up and she's like looking at the doll, then looking at the TV, then looking at the doll. And she kept, it was funny because she thought the doll was me because it's just like a generic looking white dude with brown hair. So she's like, daddy doll. And now she's looking and she like realized it's this guy on TV. And I'm like, that guy kind of looks like daddy, right? And then she looks and she just goes, no. And then we were watching for a few minutes and then AD Skinner pulled out a gun and goes, God damn it, Mulder. Right on cue, and I'm like, I have to scramble for the remote and be like, no more of this. Go in the other room.
It's so the best show ever. If there's nothing to watch, just put on BBC America. I mean, it's either X-Files or what, like Doctor Who for Ryan.
Next week, Doctor Who, 13 straight days of Doctor Who marathon, Tom.
That's insane.
I'll be locked in.
Good. Well, when Alabama's beating everyone by 100 and the Bills are 0-12, this podcast is just going to become like a BBC America critique.
It's fine.
Get ready, folks.
Planet All right. Earth reviews. That's it.
Anything to add before we take off?
Nope. I think we're good for this week. It's kind of a light week.
We got to pick our lock of the week.
Oh, wait. We got to pick our locks of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I already did mine.
Tom Z's lock is what?
So I said I was going to pick Syracuse, and I'm picking Syracuse, but I would say if you're betting, my two favorite ones are Cincinnati and Georgia.
Excellent. Ryan, I'll let you go first.
All right. Well, Tom, I like the Georgia pick a lot. I also like to stay in the SEC, Florida, Tennessee under. However, I hate making unders a lock of the week. They're no fun. So I'm going to go to the other side of things. I'm going to get my lock of the week over on a Friday night down in Florida, and I'm on the Lane train over in the UCF Florida Atlantic. That's my lock of the week. That shit's getting into the 90s.
Love it.
That's pretty good. I'm going to take Illinois plus 28.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going two Friday picks and a noon Saturday pick. We're wrapping this shit up early this week. No Hawaii game. They're off.
That's right. Big up Syracuse. This one's for the Yellow Store. This one's for the Brooklyn Pickle. This one's for Tully's. This one's for what else? I only remember like four things. This is for the Great New York State Fair.
Onondaga Lake.
Onondaga Lake. No longer the most polluted lake in America. God bless. Wow. All right. I guess that's it. Thank you all for listening. iTunes, Stitcher, TakeThePoints.net. See you next week. Pay almost the same as Netflix, have far fewer shows and horrible stream quality, and all NFL games blacked out. Get the CBS Streaming All Access app. Oh, did we mention we have full ads even though you're paying $6 a month? CBS All Access. This app has all CBS shows, so it's made for people who are too old to know how streaming works. CBS All Access.